vaccination, what is happening on the IDD side?
All operators are shouting about IDD, but most of the price reductions have been on the budget products. The headline prices on IDD hasn't been revised by anybody. Everybody is shouting about IDD because the floor price is affecting them to compete on the domestic rates. Similarly, Dialog has adjusted its budget products and basically maintaining its market share and the revenue share on IDD. The market is not focusing on dropping the headline IDD rates, because it's not viable at the market level. So everybody is focusing at budget, and Dialog again is talking with our budget products in that segment.
Has there been an erosion in revenue on IDD? Did you give the breakdown?
On the third quarter, we didn't do any adjustments on IDD. The adjustments were done in fourth quarter. But again, we haven't seen any erosion. Third quarter has seen an improvement in IDD revenues.
That is because the MOUs are going up in IDD?
Yeah.
So it's been elastic?
Correct.
Okay. The next question is, are you expecting any reprieve in the budget? How do you see the budget playing out for your industry?
We are actually having a meeting tomorrow. I've been invited, one of the sectors that have been looked at. Specifically in the budget, what we can look forward to is probably a simplification of the tax system, because that 30% which the consumer is charged basically goes out of our spending allocation of the consumer. And I don't know whether it will reduce per se, but at least due to removing the cascading effect, there might be around 5 points. That's what we are hoping for, some reduction.
How do you see that playing out? Do you think that the operators will be able to retain that, or would it be passed on to the consumer, or maybe?
No, I think now it's okay to pass it on, in the sense that the elasticity is there in the market, so you might find that because the taxes come on top of the published rate,
right.
So the cost to consumer will come down.
Right.
We could see some increase in consumption, provided it's reduced. We don't know that yet.
And last question is about the dynamics after interconnection came. Last time I discussed this with you, you said that incoming and outgoing may balance out. How do you see that happening?
So I think already seeing that dynamic moving, month by month, the net is shifting. So it's good news and bad in a sense. I mean, it's good news on the outgoing MOUs, because it means a Dialog, given its market leading position plus the flow rates in place, is the preferred outgoing network. So outgoing calls then generate a corresponding interconnect charge, however, which is much lower than the actual new revenues you create on outgoing traffic. So it will pan out. I think this level is probably still a little, it can reduce a little more.
Have you seen competitors readjusting their prices due to interconnect charges? Has that yet happened?
No. But everyone is at floor now. So.
Right. And then finally, now this floor price is only for new connections. There was a proposal to bring it on for all connections. What is the status of that?
Not much movement on that. There was a statement to that effect that someday it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see it, and to be very sensitive from a consumer angle, I think.
Thank you very much indeed. Are there any more questions from the floor?
EBITDA, company level EBITDA was stagnant this quarter. Was that something to do with the interconnect accounting, or compared quarter on quarter stagnant?
We have a slide on that breakdown, but there are many dynamics. Q3 saw the flow rates coming in. All the prepaid services jumped onto the flow rate, so there was a rate reduction, RPM fell. So the pickup of consumption and elasticity is still happening. Unlike 2 years ago when things were dead in terms of elasticity, now the elasticity is back. So I think within a month or two it will be neutral. So that was a revenue reduction in core prepaid voice revenues. On the other hand, there were these levies and the various direct cost changes. So overall, atypical quarter, both on the revenue side as well as on the cost side.
Now that revenue adjustment is over, right? You'd expect RPMs to remain at this kind of level.
Yeah, correct.
While MOUs pick up. Looking at your CapEx, it's fallen to 10% of revenues, 1 billion a quarter. Is it sustainable? Because at this level, your free cash flows are looking very attractive. But what would you think a sustainable level is? Has technology costs compared to like 3 years ago, the same technology, is it cheaper now to deploy? Is that part of the reason for CapEx costs improving?
I think multiple. I think what you mentioned was is very true. One is that per erlang, per volume of capacity, costs have come down in technology. Also, we have been extremely prudent. We have very stringent processes in place which track the CapEx spend as well as the timing of CapEx. So I think that is mastered to an art now of getting the timing perfect. So in that, along that vein, I would say that with the country upturn, we'll watch it very carefully, but we will be ready to invest sufficiently to take the upturn in demand and the upturn in opportunity. So we can we maintain 10% of revenue as CapEx? I don't think so. That is not a long-term sustainable ratio. It could be a long-term sustainable ratio on a long-term average, say on a five-year average. But in the shorter term, if the country upside, consumption, consumer spending, economic growth comes in, the very lessons we learned when the economy went down, I think have to be applied in reverse, that when the economy comes up, consumers are going to demand more capacity, more services, and there's a revenue opportunity. So we'll be ready. And we have the processes in place to spend right at the right time.
What sort of debt to equity ratio are you targeting in the long term, particularly because that pretty much determines your dividend policy? Kind of free cash flows you're giving, you maintain, or you can reduce debt substantially in the next year and then become a very high dividend stock.
Maximum.
Yeah, maximum would be 2-1 or so. We'll keep it at that level. So the real determinant of free cash flow will be market opportunity. So that we will invest to capture that opportunity, and that would determine the free cash flow. And we'll keep the gearing at, you know, that sort of level, which we won't gear too much above what we are doing.
DBN infrastructure revenues fell. Any particular reason for that?
I think it's mostly coming from the microwave transmission element. DBN is part of Dialog's infrastructure arm. Infrastructure arm, Dialog Teleinfrastructure takes assets from DBN and DTP, DAP, the company's towers, plus DBN has about 40 sites. Both of them, they pool together and resell. We have seen a reduction in the microwave revenue lines at DBN, where others have moved on to their own microwave infrastructure. But the site sharing has seen a growth, as well as new revenues through renting of fiber has seen an improvement. A key element which was seen a dip was the microwave, where operators moved on to their own microwave due to cost advantages.
The interconnect costs and the revenues make the quarter-on-quarter comparisons a little bit difficult, right? If you look compared to the last quarter.
And yeah, on top of that, also having the rate change. So like in our, we have what we have estimated in our release is around 7%.
1.7%
revenue. 1.7 reduction.
Yeah. In revenues.
Core voice.
Percent. Yes. basically 100 million reduction in revenues.
Any more queries to be raised from the floor, ladies and gentlemen?
Postpaid, for prepaid, it was above one. Prepaid, all tariff elements were operating above flow, so it was above one. Postpaid, it's below one because of the blast effect, and anyway, it didn't have major impact through flow pricing.
So that would mean that the prepaid customers would want to migrate to new packages now?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we have offered two options for the consumer. On the per second option, where elasticity, it takes a while to get the elasticity. It's connected to a reload value. So high spenders on per second package gets, when they do a reload of 100 rupees, they get the new prices, which are very close to flow and the best in the market. On the per minute segment, where we have seen elasticity coming much faster, they can move on to that package by dialing a USSD access number. Free of charge, and we have seen subscribers moving on to that. All the new connections that we issue to the market, approximately about 200,000, is offered on per minute plan, again driving the new price points.
As long as some of your smaller competitors keep investing in infrastructure, and as long as old connections do not come to a flow price, what is the risk of customers sort of preferring, say, a small operator who now has enough infrastructure for a sort of decent quality in calls?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, no. On new customers, everyone is at the flow, so there is no reason to prefer someone else over Dialog. But on old customers, some of them are still operating on older tariffs. So arguably, those guys who have now implemented more infrastructure and has arguably better call quality than what they had in the past, is that a risk to Dialog's customer base?
Not really, because our old customers, so to speak, the ones who are on tariffs which are better than the floor price on postpaid. So the Blaster group and basically the incumbent postpaid base of around 700,000-800,000, they are on a tariff which is better than the floor price. I don't think there's much danger of them moving. Even if they, even if the rates come to floor for the old customers, given the on-net advantage and the number and all these things, I don't see any danger. Prepaid, everyone is now on flow, unless by choice. So, for example, those customers Supun mentioned who haven't moved onto the per second plan, it's because from the per second to the per minute, it's because they prefer to operate on per second for and the previous rate, than move to the new rate on per minute.
More specifically, for example, Airtel was offering fairly low tariffs before the flow rate was applied. Are those tariffs still lower than some of your old prepaid tariffs?
Yeah, I think though the new flow pricing came into effect formally from July, we have seen regulator implementing informal flow pricing from September 2009. The informal flow pricing was operating at 50 cents on net, 2 rupee off net. So if you compare to 50 cents on net versus 1 rupee on net at Dialog, it's still cheaper. But the other component, which is 2 rupee off net, call is fairly expensive for a Airtel subscriber. Compared to majority of such calls will be, if he's in Dialog, will go as on net calls because he has 7 million of his colleagues to call. And overall, the mix, taking the total call mix into consideration, still he will benefit by moving on to Dialog rather than staying with a smaller network.
One more question, just on the postpaid side, have you seen competition trying to take off the rental and that sort of strategies? Can they do that by reducing the total bill?
Yeah, the rental is not regulated. Need to ensure that the if you have a rental, you need to ensure that you are within the flow prices. If you decide to go on the call rates below, say, the new postpaid pricing plan that Dialog offers, is where we give charge rental of 350 and we give some free minutes to compensate the rental element. We haven't looked at offering a retail plan without rental because it's not long-term sustainable offering. And given that we have a fairly secure postpaid base, which is operating at a very cheap price points, we haven't seen the need to go there. But it's within the regulated rates, provided every call you charge is in line with the flow prices.
What about handset subsidies coming in?
It's, I think, up to the operator to take the risk because handset subsidy is not something that is regulated. But given our credit profile and the credit information that operators have, it's up to the operator to take the judgment and decide on the subsidy. Provided that you can sustain the customer to recover the cost. In this market, we haven't, this Sri Lanka or in these regional markets, we haven't seen operators succeeding by doing handset subsidies for the retail consumer. It could be a different case for the enterprise consumer, where we have been always playing and been successful to capture more than a fair share.
Just a question on CapEx again. We've seen a lot of people talking about the new market or the growth in broadband. Two questions in this. One is, how much of the broadband market is built out at the moment in terms of population coverage? And what would you see as an investment that would be required during the next 2 to 3 years?
In terms of population coverage, we have close to about 75% of our population covered with our 3.5G HSP network. We have seen again very encouraging demand from the broadband segment, especially the prepaid element has seen a significant uptake. Northeast again driving that growth, plus the rest of the country. CapEx, we have been expanding the network and our aspiration is to give good coverage across the country as we have done on the 2G network.
After the flow price scheme?
Postpaid, yes.
On postpaid?
On both categories?
Yeah, on postpaid definitely come down. Now, prepaid, there's a lot of multi-simming going on, so what you actually call churn is a dead SIM card, which again, there's not much change in that, it's a very low percentage.
Has that behavior changed? I mean, the fact that people need, they're optimizing, because if the flow price has come, is there much of a price differential now between operators?
Only off-net and on-net. So the multi-simming takes place based
within
on
the net.
Yeah.
Are there any more queries to be raised from the floor?
Now, these handset manufacturers are producing multi-SIM phones, Micromax, and all. How is that dynamic playing out?
I think it's just supporting a consumer trend. So I think multi-SIM phones might well become standard next few years. So
you see, even Nokia is releasing
yeah.
multi-SIM phones, right?
So I think the market is saying that we want multi-SIM phones. So, we should support it.
With the rupee appreciating, your dollar borrowing is working out quite well for you, becoming an income item almost. You could consider, would you consider gearing up more, in fact, borrowing more in dollars? and we had maximizing shareholder returns that way.
I think we will work within a prudent hedge or a prudent hedging policy. We don't take direct hedging, but match our foreign income and our interest payments in dollars. So you're right, that equation is slipping in the direction of gearing more in foreign exchange, but we will not run away with that thought to risk the future forex situation. So I think prudently, yes, we'll take it.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, if there are no more questions from the floor, all that remains for me is to say thank you very much indeed for coming for this forum today. Refreshments are served as usual for you. Thank you very much, and on behalf of everyone here, have a very pleasant evening. Thank you.